Hello, brothers and sisters. I'm Sister Ann Shields, and welcome once more to Food for the Journey. The entrance antiphon for today, I'm just highlighting them at this in several programs because I want to get you to a place where you really check them out. What is the entrance antiphon? What is the prayer that is offered us? What are the words of Scripture offered to us every time we go to Mass? Today it says, "Have mercy on me, O Lord, for I cry to you all the day long. O Lord, you are good and forgiving, full of mercy to all who call to you." Let's take hope from that. Let's take heart from that. He is full of mercy to all who call out to him. And the opening prayer, "God of might, giver of every good gift, put into our hearts the love of your name, so that by deepening our sense of reverence, you may nurture in us what is good, and by your watchful care, keep safe what you have nurtured. Through our Lord Jesus Christ, your Son, who lives and reigns with you in the unity of the Holy Spirit, one God forever and ever." I've been saying that we want to draw closer to him. And part of the way we draw closer to him is our gratitude for his death upon the cross, for us, for you, and for me. We honor him by our gratitude in the word of Scripture that he's given us that can lead us safely home. We thank him again and again and again for the Eucharist, that we might be fed and strengthened for the journey. Let's deepen our sense of reverence, that you may nurture in us what is good, and by your watchful care keep safe what you have nurtured. We're asking God to protect us. Ask for that. In good times and in difficult times, ask God, protect us, keep us safe, draw us closer to you, send your angels to us. First reading is Paul to the Colossians, chapter 1, verses 9 to 14. "Brothers and sisters, from the day we heard about you, we do not cease praying for you and asking that you may be filled with the knowledge of God's will, that you may know, you may have the knowledge of God's will through all spiritual wisdom and understanding, to walk in a manner worthy of the Lord, so as to be fully pleasing in every good work, bearing fruit and growing in the knowledge of God, strengthened with every power in accord with his glorious might, for all endurance and patience, with joy giving thanks to the Father who has made you fit to share in the inheritance of the holy ones in light." That's what God has done for you. That's what God, that by his death and by his resurrection, he has made you fit to share in the inheritance of the holy ones in light. That's your destination. That's your destiny. There is none greater. "He delivered us from the power of darkness. He transferred us to the kingdom of his beloved Son, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of our sins." Read that over. And I want to encourage you, when you're reading Scripture, if you're not particularly, you don't do a lot of Scripture study, one of the things you ought to do as you start is to read it out loud. Any passage you read from Scripture, read it out loud. You'll hear it in a way. You get it through two senses, and that always helps. Your eyes and your ears. Hear the word of God. Psalm 98, "The Lord has made known his salvation. He's revealed his justice. He's revealed his kindness and his faithfulness." So, brothers and sisters, let's draw near to him. He has much to say to us. Much. Gospel of Luke, chapter 5, verses 1 to 11. "While the crowd was pressing in on Jesus and listening to the word of God, he was standing by the lake of Gennesaret. He saw two boats there alongside the lake. The fishermen had disembarked and were washing their nets. washing those nets was not an easy task. You know that they're very, very, very heavy. And they were cleaning the nets after bringing in the catch. And getting into one of the boats, the one belonging to Simon, he asked him to put out a short distance from the shore. And then he sat down and taught the crowds from the boat. After he had finished speaking, he said to Simon, "Simon, put out into the deep water and lower your nets for a catch." And Simon said in reply, Master, we've worked hard all night. We've caught nothing. But at your command, I will lower the nets." There's a disciple. That's what you want to be. "Lord, we've worked at this hard. We've done everything. We're trained fishermen. We know what we're doing. We've tried everything, and it didn't work. But at your word, I will lower the net." When they had done this, they caught a great number of fish, and their nets were tearing. Have you seen those kinds of nets? They're huge. They're very thick. It's quite a weight for anybody to carry. And they're filled with fish. They caught a great number of fish, and the nets were tearing. They signaled to their partners in the other boat to come to help them. They came and filled both boats so that the boats were in danger of sinking. When Simon Peter saw this, he fell at the knees of Jesus, and he said, "Depart from me, Lord, for I am a sinful man." In other words, "I didn't believe you. I did it. I did what you asked me to, but I was pretty skeptical." I'm sure that's what was in his heart. "Depart from me, Lord, for I am a sinful man." In other words, "I didn't trust you." And for astonishment at the catch of fish they had made, seized him and all those with him, and likewise James and John, the sons of Zebedee, who were partners of Simon. Jesus said to Simon, "Do not be afraid. From now on, you will be catching men." And when they brought their boats to the shore, they left everything and followed him. Now notice this. Notice this. Peter was a fisherman. Peter was familiar with the waters. Peter was very familiar what time of day you could catch. Peter knew what he was doing. And then along comes Jesus, who's not a fisherman, and he says, "Put out into the deep water and lower your nets for a catch." What would you have done? I think I would have stood there for a little while going, I don't know. Maybe. Maybe not. I'm a fisherman. I do this all the time. This is not going to work. I can hear myself saying that kind of thing. Hopefully not anymore. Hopefully I trust him more now. But I used to be there. And sometimes I still am. You want to draw as close to him as you can, until you begin to know him by the power of the Holy Spirit, by the grace of your baptism and your confirmation, by partaking of his body and blood. And not just going through the ritual, but really receiving and thanking and trying to follow more and more closely. Then you're in a place that when God says, "Put out your nets for a catch," even if humanly you look at it and you say, "I don't know." That's what Peter did too. Jesus understood. But he did it. And a miracle occurred. I'm not saying that everything is a miracle, or if we just ask God, he'll do a miracle. He'll do a miracle when it's in his best interest and our best interest to lead us safely home to him. That's what he wants ultimately from you, is to be safe home with him. So draw as near as you can to him. Really. And I've said the ways, but I'll say them again. The Eucharist, as often as you can. reading of the Word of God, participation in the sacraments, especially Sacrament of Reconciliation and the Eucharist. Don't go through the motions. Don't do that. Just say, Lord, purify me. Lord, change me. Lord, help me to see where I'm wrong. Help me to admit it. All that kind of thing is only going to lead you right into the arms of God Himself. How often have I said to you over the years, God gave you a free will. He will never demand it. Because you can't demand love. He wants you to be willing to follow Him more closely, to draw near to Him, to be with Him. And you notice here that for astonishment at the catch of fish they had made seized him and all those with him, and likewise James and John, the sons of Zebedee, who were partners of Simon. And Jesus said to Simon, do not be afraid. I mean, I'm sure Simon was absolutely shocked. There aren't that many fish in these waters, or at least not at this time of day. And lo and behold, the boat almost went down. Do not be afraid. From now on, you will be catching men. In other words, I have greater plans for you. When they brought their boats to the shore, they left everything. Everything. And followed him. How often do we kind of try to bargain with the Lord? If you do this, then I'll do this. If you get me that, then I'll do this for you. Don't bargain. Don't do that. Ask God, say, give me a heart to trust you. Help me to trust you. If you help me to trust you, I will draw closer to you because I ultimately want to be your disciple. I want to be your son or your daughter. I want to follow you with my whole heart. Wherever you are in that spectrum, just say it to the Lord. Lord, I'd like to be there, but I'm not there. I want you, but I'm afraid of this, and I'm afraid of that, and I'm afraid of the other thing. Or I'm angry about you for this, or angry about you for that. And I don't know. You know what? Just sit before the Lord. Go into the church, if you can. Just sit before the Lord. Say, help me. Help me. Here is Jesus, as some saint, a prisoner of the tabernacle. He allows himself, in a sense, to be imprisoned there so that he is always available to us. How often do you stop in a church? How often do you take just 3 minutes as you go by a church to go in and tell Jesus you love him and ask for the graces you need? How much are you doing to make contact with God? Because he longs to have that contact with you. But he will never violate your free will. He will never force you. He is before us. He loves us. Follow him more closely. God bless you. For a free copy of my booklet, Hope in the Midst of Suffering, please call our toll-free number, 1-800-282-4789. That's 1-800-282-4789. Or go to our website, renewalministries.net/FFJ. That's renewalministries.net/FFJ.